impacting our world. How can we, truly as Christians, impact our world? The first thing we must define is, what is our world? Because we tend to think that, what difference can I make in the scheme of life? I'm one person. Who can I really impact? I don't have a position. I don't have power. I don't have money. I don't have, I'm not seen out there very often or very much by many people. So how can I affect my world? Go to the next slide. What is your world? Go to the next slide, Jeremy. Your world is every person that God puts in your life. Family, coworkers, friends, anyone who you have personal contact with. That's your world. It could be a neighbor. It could be anybody that you personally come in contact with. That then becomes your world to try to impact. The best way to impact someone's world and the best way to influence someone is not as much the words we say as the life we live. A life lived for God is much more impactful than anything we try to say. It's kind of the joke I use sometimes. You think about, you've got a father telling a son, "Don't you ever drink, boy. You stay away from alcohol. Don't you ever drink. Bring me a beer out of the refrigerator." Now, you're telling him not to drink, but you're drinking. You're telling him not to smoke, but you're smoking. You're telling him not to do these things, but you're doing these things. Which pattern are they going to follow? What you're saying or how you're living? They're going to follow how you're living. And they're going to pattern their lives like that. You know, I look back as an adult man now and remember my childhood very vividly and very clearly. I remember the home I was raised in. And remember that I didn't hear profanity in the home. I didn't see drinking or smoking in the home. I didn't see wife beating in the home. I had parents that loved each other and loved me. There was peace for most parts, as much as there can be in a marriage, right? There's peace in the home growing up. I felt safe. I felt secure. My parents taught me values and morals, but it wasn't things they didn't live themselves. The things they taught me, they exercised. And so I think it's important when we start evangelizing, trying to witness to people, to understand, first of all, you know, is my life in order? Am I a good witness for God? You know, am I a good witness? If they really know who I am, would I still be impactful for the Lord, or would I push them away and say, "You're not even real. Are you kidding me? You say one thing, but you do another." There's a guy I used to work with down in Mooresville years ago, and he was always very churchy talking, very religious talking. Always talked about religion, church, and just always wanted, talk. He'd come to me because, he knew I was a minister, and talked about his services and God and this and this and this. And he always promoted that. But then the guys he worked with would always, talk about him and say, "He always talks about God and church, but he cuts like a sailor at work all day long." And even people that were non-believers understood something don't match. You're talking about God and talking about your church and talking about Jesus, but then you cuss like a sailor all day long at work. So something's not matching. Now, the most impactful tool we have to witness is our life, our example, the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves, the way we exercise love and forgiveness toward others. So that's who our world is. Every person God puts in your life, that becomes your world. It's one person at a time. Church is one person. I think the most important people in your life, of course, as you become adults and married and have kids, become your children. So you start teaching your children the things of God and raising them up. That's why a lot of kids get out of church, around 18, 19, hit college, go through those 20 years of trying to find who they are and going through their experience in their adult life. But then when they settle down at about 30, 35, whenever, start having kids, they realize that God's pretty important. And when they see that little baby in their arms, they realize, "I better teach this baby about Jesus. I've not always lived my life the best, but I got enough sense to realize I want my children to know about God." So they come back to the church at that age and start bringing their kids to church and raising them in church so they can learn. And some of you in this body bring your grandkids to church every week, teaching your grandkids about Jesus. That's precious. That's impacting your world. That's making a personal influence. That's making a difference. Then you got people you work with every day all around you that God's placed there for you to be a witness to just by your light. And church, we ought to be different. We ought to stand out, not in a freaky way or a bad way, but we ought to stand out in a way that people want to know why we're different. Why are you different? What is it about you that makes you different? I don't hear you just talk this way, and you're always forgiving, and you're loving, and you treat everybody the same, and there's something different about you. You don't talk about people. I don't hear you judging people. What's different about you? Then there's your door. What's different about me? I know God, and He knows me. And I gave my life to Him. And because I know God, I want to live for God and serve God. Our world, each one of us has a world, wherever that's at. We have Forrest with us tonight. Good to see you back, Forrest. You and Chance. Heard your flight got grounded because of snows. So sorry about that, but glad you're with us tonight. Forrest is a soldier in the Army. Where's Forrest's world at? In Alaska right now. He's got comrades all around him that he can be a light, a spiritual witness. What's different about you, Forrest? You're not like a lot of these guys. What's different about you? And then Forrest's like, well, I love God. I love God. Try to follow God because there's something different. We ought to stand out from the world. There ought to be a defining difference in God's kingdom people and the world. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a very obvious difference. If there's not an obvious difference, we're either hiding it, we're not projecting it the right way, are we ashamed of it, are we just awkward with it, have we truly been changed at all? A lot of things to ask. Your world's one person at a time. Your children, friend, co-worker, a parent, a cousin, a brother, a sister, whoever it is in your world. But each one of us have our little world that God's placed certain people in our lives. And we're here for a reason. I read one commentator I thought was good, said, if we weren't meant to impact the world, then what would be the point after we're saved of staying here? After we're saved, just go home, right? As soon as we get saved, I give my heart to you, Jesus. Whoop, I'm gone. Beam me up, Scotty. But we remain here. Why do we remain? So that we can impact those around us. Once we get it, we're supposed to give it. Once we receive it, we give it back out. And we sow it to other lives and we share what God did for us. Go to the next slide, Jerry. We're going to be in Matthew 5. You can be finding that. Matthew 5, I only got three verses to read tonight. Matthew 5, we're going to read 13 through 16. And this is Jesus speaking. Very familiar passage to us if you've been in church very long. You've heard these verses, I'm sure. Matthew 5, 13, Jesus speaking says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, our good works, our behavior, our conduct for God is supposed to be seen not to bring pride to us, but to bring glory to God, that they see there's a difference. There's something about you that's changed. How can you live in this corrupt world and be different? How have you not got caught up in the game? Because God's power is stronger than the world's hold. God's power is stronger. Go to the next slide. We're going to look at two things here. Salt. He uses two examples, salt and light. Salt, two things salt does. Preserves from corruption and adds flavor or interest. Now let's talk about these two points a minute. Salt is a preserver. Before refrigeration came to being, the technology of refrigeration, salt was used to keep bacteria from poisoning food. It was a very vital thing to have. And there were wars fought over salt back in the day. It was that important. It preserved and kept bacteria and destroyed it and killed it. Now, how does that apply to us as Christians? We, as God's people, are supposed to carry the same salt of the Lord in order to help prevent the corruption of those around us. That we are that ingredient that keeps the bacteria of sin and the world from getting its grip on the people we love and on those around us, our children, our families. And we're supposed to be the one that says, no, Here's what God's word says. The world says this, but God says this. Satan says this, but God says this. I want to be a warrior and a soldier for that which is good. I want to be the superhero. I want to be on the good side, the good guy. Letting you know, don't go that way. I'm here and my works are supposed to show in order to teach others that what I have is enough to help preserve you from the things of the world that's trying to creep in and destroy your life. So salt is very precious. The second thing salt does, it adds flavor. And we know that. I mean, with no show of hands, how many put salt will even taste your food? Your meal comes, first thing you do, grab a salt shaker. Shh, 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 shh. You ain't even tasted it. How do you know it's not salty enough? But you do it anyway. You add salt because we like how it tastes. Now, the one thing, and I don't add salt. There's only really one thing I know of that I add salt to, and I love pepper. But I don't add salt to anything except really one thing I can think of. I do add salt to grits. You've got to have salt on grits. You've got to, church. I mean, it just ain't grits without salt. So I do salt my grits. But that's sugar on grits. That's too sweet. My butter. I do butter. Butter and salt and pepper. Salt them grits because it gives it that bang element you got to have. But without salt, and see, our food is covered with salt, as you know. Frozen dinners, all that comes packed with sodium and salt. Look at the milligrams of sodium on any package you buy in the grocery store. I mean, it's just packed with sodium. Why? Because it adds flavor. Salt adds. Food would be awful boring without salt. We love our salt. And the doctors don't love it too much, do they? Because they tell you to get off of it. But we love our salt. So salt adds flavor and salt adds interest. Now, what is Jesus saying about you're the salt? We have got to be. There's got to be a noticeable difference in us and the world. And there's got to be enough change in us and enough example in us that we spark someone's interest. Why? What do you have? I don't understand. Something about you is just different. What is that? It's that salt of God that has saved me and it keeps me and it preserves me and keeps me on the right track. It ought to spark flavor, interest in other people's lives about what we have. You know, we had a person, and it made me feel really, really good. But we had a person that, they're not here, right? They're not here anymore on a regular basis. They're not here anymore. But they came for a while a few years ago, and they came, and I went to school with this person. And they said, you know, I've been all over the country, different places living and stuff like that, and I'm, you know, back here trying to find a church. And said, I wanted to come check you out. Because I went to school with you, and I remember how you were in school, and I knew you were real. Man, you talking about a compliment. I mean, that's the greatest compliment you could have if for someone to come visit because they remembered how you were in high school and says, I know you were real. You know what that was? It wasn't me. It was the salt and the light of God in me that they were seeing. It was that salt preserving me from all the corruption that was around me. It was that light that was shining in my life that illuminated the way for others, and they saw that, you know, James is different. Like me or not, I was different. And they knew. They just knew I was different. In church, I think it's a proud thing to be noticed as being different. I think we should be proud of that. I'm different. I'm proud of that. Are you one of them Christians? I sure am, praise God. Can't you tell? Oh, man, yes, I am. I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm honored that He chose me. I'm honored that God passed my way and called my name. I didn't choose Him, church. He chose me. The Bible says that in John 15, that God chose us and ordained us. So salt is a vital ingredient in our natural food, and salt is a vital ingredient in our spiritual life to help preserve the corruption of others. Now, the second thing is, he used an example, is light. He says, you are the light of the world set up on a hill. Two things about light. Light makes the truth visible. It's what light does. It illuminates. It makes the truth visible. Don't you hate driving in the dark? Even if you got good eyesight, this is not fun driving in the dark. You worried about deer popping out or possums or raccoons. You worried about you can't see more than 20 feet in front of you, and it's just dreary on the side of your car. You can't see the scenery. It's just dark. I hate driving in just the dark. It's kind of gloomy, ain't it? Kind of boring. Kind of, I don't know. You just can't see good. You just can't see, and that's how the sinner is. They're walking around in darkness. They can only see a little bit. But we as Christians are supposed to be that light that shines, that the beams them on bright. Don't we love our bright lights? Beams them on bright. Shoots out there, and we can see a lot further than we could on dim. The truth, the light, illuminates and makes clear and visible what the truth is. And we are that light. Church, the greatest way that people see our Lord is through us. We are the light. We're the ones that carry Jesus. We're the ones that carry His Holy Spirit. We're the ones that point them in the right direction and tell them about the love of God and show them the mercy of God. We're the ones that give them this word, and We're the ones that pray with them and witness with them and talk with them and counsel with them. It's us as human beings that do that. We carry this light to illuminate and shine the truth. The Bible says, I love the verse that we read where it said that, you know, you don't put a candle under a bushel and hide it. You put it on a candlestick. Now, we've all been in our house when storms hit and the power went out. Terrible thing when it's nighttime, especially, isn't it? Terrible when it's night. Sitting there watching TV, you got 50,000 lights on, microwave going, toaster going, shower going, washer going, dishwasher going, all ceiling fans are going, everything's going. Then all of a sudden, phew, nothing's going. Pitch dark. Kids in the shower screaming, kid running down the hall. I mean, it's mayhem, panic. Boom, goes out. Does any of you get a candle when that happens? Light your candle. Ed lights a candle and says, okay, Zoe, go put it under the couch. Huh? Go put it under the couch. Why? Just do it. Okay. Okay, Daddy. Puts it under the couch. Is that going to help them see anything in their room? You know what? It will eventually, because we'll catch the couch on fire. They'll have a big old blaze, and they'll see real good. So Zoe, never put a candle under a couch. Okay, never do that. So when we light candles in the house, what do? We stick them up on places, top of the TV, entertainment center, on the kitchen bar, on the stove, on our kitchen table. We stick it somewhere to light up the room. It does no good to light a candle and hide it. The light does no good. But we want to put it up. As Jesus said, we're a city on a hill. That's what he's talking about. We're supposed to elevate his light by proclaiming him to the world. We don't hide our Christianity, is what he's saying, church. We don't hide our faith. We openly and intentionally and obviously shine our faith. Not like we saw in the video with the bullhorn. We don't do it that way. You know, there's ways we do it. We don't hold signs, say all sinners are going to hell. There's ways we don't do things. But we are to shine our life to where they see that we're different. We're just different because God's changed us. We are the greatest testament that people see to find the Lord. Because they're going to come ask you, you always seem happy, or you seem to always have peace, or you just, you know, I don't know, you just seem different. What have you got? You're not worried about the economy? No. You're not worried about this? No. Why? Well, I trust God. Yeah, but don't you? No, I trust God. I believe in God. He's now my King. He's now my Lord. He's now my Savior. I trust God. He is the light that illuminates my way. He is the salt that preserves my way. So whenever we are out here in the world outside these walls, we need to be intentionally letting our light shine, not hiding it and pretending we're not saved. Just like the first guy in the little skit said, you know, people don't even know I'm saved. How many, and this is not a guilt kind of, I'm not posing a guilt kind of point here, just to make us all think, including me. Because, you know, people know I'm a pastor, but before that I'm a Christian. More importantly, I'm a Christian. Do people know you, if you're saved, do people know you are a Christian? Do they know that? Do people in your life, your workers, co-workers, neighbors, do they know you're a Christian? Would they be surprised if you said, hey, I'm born again. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Or would their mouth hit the floor? Their teeth break out? What? Or would they say, oh, I know. How do you know? I never told you that. I just know. It shows. It doesn't show, church, in going out and just, you know, pound people with tracks and, you know, are you going to heaven or hell? Answer me, boy! Heaven or hell? We don't do it that way. But we go to them. And we just love them. Church, the greatest entryway to someone's heart is love. Love. Unconditional love. No matter how they look, what color their skin is, what they're wearing, how broke or rich they are, where they come from, what they've done to you. They can't escape love. They can't outrun love. They can outrun hate and judgment. They do it all the time. You know, I said last week, you hear a lot of young people, I've heard them say this, that, you know, I love God, but I'm not a fan of his club. Because of judgment. Because of the pointing fingers. Because I'm better than you are. Because the holier than thou. Because if you're saved, but this. If you're saved, why don't you do this? And the snarls and the looks and the glances, all of that. Church, we all live in glass houses. they all break. There ain't none of us so pretty a rock ain't gonna crack our wall. None of us. And we can learn that the greatest light we can shine is the love of Jesus. Just the love. Because if we believe that Jesus forgave us of all of our sins, how come we are so reluctant to forgive others of theirs? If we know Jesus has wiped us away, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, He's holding nothing against us, how can we as Christians hold anything against anybody else? I mean, that's what it comes down to, the hard truth. But we do, because of the human heart. But man, if they could see the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace, the compassion, the love, that would be a light that leads them, man, yeah, you really love me? But you don't know what I've done. It's okay, God loves you. God loves me? Yeah, He loves you. Talk to Him about it. Will He listen? Sure, He'll listen. He won't hear me. Yeah, He will. Just talk to Him. Just talk to God. Right where you're at, talk to Him. We've had in this church through the years, we've had people sitting in these seats while I'm preaching. We've had them high on drugs. I've had them intoxicated with alcohol. We've had homosexual couples in this church. We've had it all come through here. And you know what I do as a pastor? I preach to them. I just preach. I preach the word. Now, if there's a disruption, of course, I'm going to handle that. But if they're sitting there hearing the word, whatever they can get in between their drunken state or high state or rebel state, whatever this moment they're in right then, if they got a chance to hear the word does not come back void, the Bible says. It does not come back void. Every time the word is proclaimed, every time the word of God is spoken, it takes root and something happens in somebody's life. Always. You can bank on that. You may go leave a church service feeling like, well, that wasn't that good today. I didn't really get anything. I mean, it was okay, but, well, somebody got something. Maybe you didn't get it. Either you didn't want to get it, or you were too busy texting or Facebooking or sleeping or dreaming or thinking about lunch, whatever you're doing, tuning it out. Maybe it wasn't that good for you. Maybe it just didn't hit home. I'm talking about something that just didn't hit home to you. But it reached somebody, because the Bible says it will not come back void. Somebody got something, because the word's powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword, piercing asunder, dividing soul, dividing. It pierces to the very inner core. We are the light. We are the salt. Two analogies that are used, lights used a bunch through the book of John, as we know, and other places too. But we are to preserve those around us from corruption, to help them. To help them. Man, you got a friend you know is in trouble, you know is lost, go talk to him. So, man, have you ever, anybody ever talked to you about God? Well, has anybody ever really talked to you about your future? If you love people, the ones in your life, your world, then you can impact it one at a time. Invite someone. The simplest way, invite someone to church that you know is lost. Even if they say, well, nothing else to do. It's raining, cold, I'm broke, ain't got no money, game's off, no movies on, out of food to house. Yeah, I'll go. Praise God. Load them up and bring them. Whatever it is, bring them. Just invite them. Because once they hear the word, God, they have a chance then. Because of hearing it. If I got something after that, that's it. Okay, I can't remember. Impacting your world. Each one of us has responsibility to do that, and we can. Not by the masses, maybe. You got to understand, as a pastor, I think about that. There's a lot of churches, of course, bigger than our church, reaching a lot more people in the seats. Some have TV ministries or radio ministries or, you know, online web ministries. But I realize that all I can do is impact the world God's given me. And one thing I will say, and this is kudos to Mr. Randy back there, is Randy is so faithful in his ministry to the children. Whether it's two, whether it's 200, he's the same. You know, we were talking about the Wednesday night things. I told him, I said, man, we might need to cancel the Wednesday night before service because nobody's really coming. He goes, you know what? I've got one coming. As long as I've got that one coming, I'll be here. I think that's pretty, that's integrity, isn't it? As long as I got the one coming, I'll be here. You know how many of us count numbers and like, well, what's it worth and, you know, whatever, and da-da-da. We all do that. That's why a lot of churches have, you know, canceling multiple different services because the crowd shrinks down. But you know what? And don't think, you know, we thought about it. We've talked about it before. But you know what? I see Amanda here tonight. Ed and the girls here tonight. Forrest is here. What if we weren't here tonight? Not no far to go to many of the churches. I realize that. But you know what? If we weren't here tonight, Forrest and Chance would not be in church tonight, more likely. So you know what? We're here impacting our world one at a time. Take that serious. Every soul is precious. Think about that thief on the cross. Well, I bet he's glad that Jesus impacted his world. I mean, Jesus was on the way out dying on the cross. He was about to go. He wasn't walking the streets of Galilee anymore. He wasn't holding mass revival meetings. He wasn't standing up on a rock giving great proclamations. He wasn't walking through healing the sick and raising the dead. He was dying on a cross. But Jesus had time for one more, didn't he? In his dying moment, he had time for one more. When the thief said, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom, God?" Yes. Today, you will be with me in paradise. In other words, you're mine now. In his dying moments, that man's life was impacted. His world was changed because of one-on-one salvation. He didn't come in the day of Pentecost with the other 5,000 on that first great message. But he was one-on-one, him and Jesus, this man stretched on a tree, about to die himself, beaten, bloody, crucified. "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Man, that thief's life was changed at that moment forever. Each person that we impact is making an eternal difference. Not about the masses. It's about the one soul at a time. One person. Church, if you only lead one person in your whole life to the Lord, that's one soul that's been changed forever because of your light and your salt in your life. You can't buy that kind of reward. There's nothing more precious than knowing you had a part in someone's salvation. You prayed with them. You talked to them. You witnessed to them. I mean, I get people call me all the time from outside the church. People from different places will call me. Just wanting to talk, wanting advice, wanting counsel. I know you. I've known you for years, and I know I don't go to church there, but I need to meet with you. I need to talk to you. I've got some problems. Make time for people when that happens. You may think, that ain't my responsibility. Barbara may get a call from someone she knew years ago that treated her bad or didn't really like in school or whatever, and all of a sudden she gets a call one day. "Barbara, I know you're a Christian, and I know you're in church, right?" "Yeah, I'm in church." "Well, I'm going through some things. I need some help. Will you help me? Can you talk to me?" Barbara's got two choices. I don't like her. "Have we got plans tonight?" "Say yeah." "We got plans tonight. I'm so sorry. I can't meet. Maybe some other time." Or she can say, "Okay, I got a phone call for a reason. My phone rang. She called me. It must be a God thing. So I better take time to invest in her life." I believe that with all my heart. That it's not by accident. That we're brought into each other's lives by ordination of God. And if we get a phone call or someone wants us or someone's reaching out for us, we better not just blow them off and say, "Well, just I don't have time," or go talk to them. Man, God's trying to bring somebody into your world for you to have an impact in their lives because you apparently have what they need at that moment of their life. Whatever it is, you've got their trust, they believe in you, something. Impacting our world. And I got this tonight because of what Rodney said this morning. When Rodney, if you heard him open up this morning, he talked about, it's time for us to witness this year. Time for us to reach out. And I got to think about that this afternoon, about what he said. And so it spun off a message for me. Yeah, he's right. And I hate he's not here to hear this because this message was inspired by what he said this morning. Impacting our world. Being a witness for God. But a right witness. A witness that brings people to him, not push him away from God. We got too much of that happening now. People pushing people away from God. With all this religious rhetoric that isn't even scriptural. If you notice what Jesus, when he taught and when he ministered through his whole ministry, I mean, there was a few times he got a little gruff with the Pharisees, you know, going to the temple and turning to the poker tables and all that. But when Jesus taught, he always taught about the kingdom. He always taught about forgiveness, love, mercy. He always taught about what he was coming to do, about what people could have if they believed in him. He was always painting a picture of a better future. He was always painting a picture of more than where they're at now. He was painting a picture of redemption, of forgiveness, of sanctification, always. We need to follow that same model. We get in the way sometimes with our religious pride or anger or I don't know what it is. We get in the way and we want to try to tell everybody what they've got to do instead of just pointing them to Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit tell them what to do. Because when we truly get saved, I've said it many times. I mean, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lets you know how to live. Because you got that now inside. I mean, when you get saved, you ain't got to have somebody telling you, don't be going around hopping in bed with this person and that person and, you know, don't be going out and doing this. And, you know, don't be going out taking God's name in vain. And you ain't got to have anybody telling you that. You know, you've been saved. God's changed your heart and your nature. You follow him now because you have the Holy Spirit giving you a new, complete, you're a new creation, the Bible says. And so, if we can just get out of the way and just be the light and the salt only, here's the way, and I'm here. If you want to follow me, I'll show you how. And just be there. Be the standing light. I actually had someone call me about 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember who it is right now off the top of my head. But they called me, and this is what they said. They said, I know I've not been to church. This was several years ago. I've not been to church in like, you know, 3 or 4 years. I know you hadn't heard from me, and I hate to bother you. But I need somebody to talk to. And says, when I was trying to think about who I could call, you were the light that I saw. That was the very words. Hard to hang up on that. So I'm like, wow, okay. Still not been to church since that conversation. But I'm the one they called. God has people in your life that he will put in your life specifically for you to help. For you to help. You know, God brought Randy to our church. There's no doubt it's a God thing. And I'm so thankful he's here with us. Because Randy's made a huge impact on our children. On the ministry of our children. Ashley was so excited. She's not here tonight. She's finishing up a project for school that's due. And she had a project on a Christmas break to do. Can you believe that? So she's going to finish that up. But anyway, she came out this morning at Sunday school class. I got my memory verse, and she quoted Romans, I think, 5:8. I think it was Romans 5:8 she quoted. It's a pretty long verse. Why were we yet sinners? He died. No, not doctrine and godly. Is that the one? It's kind of a long verse. He should come out this morning so excited. So I got to remember verse, Romans 5:8, and quote the whole verse. That's the impact that Randy and our teachers are making on our children. You're making a difference. For the moments of Jesse and Xavier wiggling around and talking and think they're not listening, you're making a difference. For those little babies like Maverick, who we think's too young to really retain anything, they're not too young. D tells me all the time things he says about God at home, little things he'll say out and spurt out of his mouth. I've seen kids in here. We saw Zuri dancing one Sunday morning with the music. You know why? Because she just knows. I want to dance. It's okay. I've seen little kids raising their hands because they see other people raising their hands. They copy that. Raise their hands in church. Y'all are making an impact, Randy, teachers, making a huge impact. We don't have 150 kids here, no, but the kids we have, you're changing their lives. And you're making an impact. And you're making a difference. Just like teachers made a difference in my life. And your reward is great in the kingdom to come for the little ones that you are investing in now, changing their lives. For you, for Zoe, what you're doing for Zoe, while we're bringing her to church and teaching her about Jesus as her grandmother, what a wonderful thing. I mean, you're sowing an eternal. You're giving her the greatest gift ever. Giving her the opportunity to learn about the Lord. It's a great thing we can give them. We impact our world one at a time. Embrace that moment. Pray that God will let you see that moment. Pray that God will visit you. And then when someone comes to your life, that he speaks to you and say, this is one I want you to invest in. This is one I want you to try to help. Because each one of us is a body. Have responsibility to help bring someone else into his kingdom. Disciple them, love them, raise them up. And that's what you teachers are doing. You're discipling these children, really. You're teaching them about God. A lot of them have been saved. Some of them haven't been saved. But the ones that have been saved, you're discipling them. They're growing now in the things of God. They're learning what the Bible says, what the stories are about, who Jesus really is. They're learning all that. They're growing. They're being become disciples. You know, Christian still talks about, and Jamie, things they learned in Sunday school and teachers they had and things that were said and things that they, you know, learned from, you know, way back in the day. Never leaves you. Y'all remember Sunday school, things you learned, your teachers, the lessons you learned, Little Zacchaeus, we learned as a kid, right? Little Zacchaeus, sycamore tree. Song made about and everything. We learn those stories. We have an opportunity to impact our world. We can't change the White House. We can't change the U.S. government necessarily. But we can change one life at a time around us for the kingdom of God and impact them and change. And you know what? When we come together corporately, we can really make a change. You know, the deal with the Duck Dynasty, you know, A&E reversed their decision because of people, the outcry of people. Hobby Lobby, you heard about Hobby Lobby? They are proposing closing all of their stores nationwide. I think it's, what, 500-some stores or something? Nationwide, closing them down based on moral principle. Because of, what was that because of? That's because the abortion pill. Because the Obamacare includes the morning after pill in the insurance, required or something in the insurance is in there. And Hobby Lobby is a Christian company. Says we're not going to support something that supports the after morning pill. Now, man, you talking about people making a stand? You talking about impacting the world? Wow. You don't think that has people on their heels thinking, oh my gosh, what is this about? We, each of us, have a chance to impact someone's life. This is a new year. It is a new day. Embrace it and say, God, I want to be an impactor. I want to help somebody find the Lord. Man, it's such a precious thing to lead someone to the throne of God and to be there. Those moments of pastor I have are so precious that make all the other stuff that gets in the way irrelevant when I say that happened. You know, we had a young lady last year, our 10th anniversary. We had a big celebration after service, big cookout outside. And she was a teenage girl, and she come to me. She said, Pastor, it's time for me. What do you mean it's time? It's time. I'm ready to give it all up. I went and got Melanie. We brought her in the sanctuary. Everybody's outside having, you know, the festivities. We bring her in here at the altar, and we pray, and she prays, and she's crying, and tears are flowing down her face, and she asked the Lord into her life. And she even says something on Facebook about it. It made me feel good a few weeks ago about it's been a year. Not been a year. She said, no, it hasn't been a year, but she said something about, it's about 2013. She said, 2013, I got saved at Living Word Ministries and found the Lord. That was a precious moment. We had about 100 and probably about 150 people that day, 130 or 40, 50 people that morning. Place was packed. Everybody's outside celebrating, eating, having a good time. Kids are having a good time. Me, Mel, and this young lady's in here, and a life's being changed. I mean being changed. It was the best highlight of the day for me. More than the big crowd, more than all the festivities, more than the 10-year anniversary. That moment was the best highlight of the day for me. When that young lady gave in and says, I want Jesus. Man, that's what it's about. Impacting our world. So make a decision. For you that are in school, college or high school or wherever you're at, make an impact for God. Be the light. Be the salt. So I can show you the way to come. But you got to be there first, of course. You got to be there yourself. Look, we can't lead anybody if we're in the dark ourselves. It's like a blind man leading a blind man, right? It does no good. Somebody's got to see. But if we can clearly see the truth and know who our God is, we need to let people know who he is and be that light and salt impacting our world. 2014. Time for God to be seen, 2014. Time for God to be seen. Your world is everyone God puts in your life. Be on the lookout and watch for them. Listen right here. Watch their face when you see them. Something as simple as, are you okay today? You look a little down. What's going on? Boom, there's the opportunity. They share their story. Then you share your story. And you pray. I'm going to tell you, there have been very few people in my years of ministry as a pastor, really only a couple, I guess, ever. I think there's two times where I offered to pray with someone and they refused it. Most people, if you say, even the heathen, if you say, if they're sharing something with you and you say, I'm a Christian, I don't, maybe you're not, but do you want me to pray with you about something? Yeah, go ahead, pray. Gives you an opportunity to sow that seed. Sow that seed. When I go to the hospital to visit someone, I always, of course, pray. If it's someone I don't know, you know, I always ask them, can I pray with you before I leave? And most always, yeah, please do. Man, we have such a... That's why the Bible says that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. It's a wide open field out there. Opportunity for salvation for people's lives. But are we going to be a laborer? Or are we just happy that we're saved and we're settled and we're comfortable and I'm good? Or are we going to make a difference and reach out to someone we work with or in our family? It takes effort, church. Yeah, it takes effort. You may be taking somebody to lunch you don't like and buying their lunch just to talk to them and share the gospel with them. You never know, they may come back from lunch saved. They may give their heart right there at me, Pablo's, over the dip. You never know. Just never know. I've led people to the Lord in my own home, personally. In a parked car. It was a guy, not a girl. Of course, you know, in church, in different churches, actually, in different places, different buildings. We used to have outreach services, so I've been different places. I've done that. It doesn't matter where you're at, because he's everywhere. Just take the chance to talk to someone and be an influence in their lives. We are supposed to be a good influence in the world. The Christians are. We're supposed to be the good influence that helps keep the bad influence away. We are the salt that kills the bacteria of sin. So let's be that impact. 2014, new year. Be the impact, church. Be the difference. Invite someone to church. It's a brand new year. Every one of you knows somebody who's not going to church. We all do. Invite them. If they say, well, I might. They don't come, invite them the next time you see them. Next week. You won't come to church this week? How about this week? Just ask them. You won't come to church this week? Just ask them. Before you know it, who knows? Just to get you off their back, they may come. But man alive, it may be the church that changed their life. I'm telling you, I know there are folks that have been here before just to come visit, but couldn't leave after that because God got a hold of them. Takes one time, one touch of God. So be an impactor in this year. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning, or this evening that's come forth. Thank you for your scripture that teaches us these truths, that we are the light and we are the salt of the earth. Lord, this is your words. Let us be that in this year, in our generation. Let us be the candlestick that's held high. Let us not hide our Christianity or keep it in like we're ashamed of it or in darkness, but let us boldly, God, show openly our Christian values by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we pray, that we are bold with our faith, God, that people see there's someone I can turn to if I need help. We are the salt, God, that preserves. And your Holy Spirit preserves us, God, and seals us to that day of redemption. And I just pray, God, that you use us this year in a mighty way. That you use us to make a difference. If there's only one person, God, this year, just one, that is changed forever, eternally, because of using us, it'll be a year worth celebrating. Give us, God, someone to lead to you this year. Let us impact our world in a very special way. And we thank you, God, and give you praise for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.